Who made America what it is today? Is it the presidents who led the government, or the generals who fought the wars? Or is it ordinary people, the ones who don't get written into the history books, but whose impacts are profound? Before you answer, check out these big ideas from the new book, The Small and the Mighty, 12 Unsung Americans Who Changed the Course of History, from the Founding to the Civil Rights Movement, by Sharon McMahon. Sharon is a longtime high school government and law teacher who hosts the award-winning history podcast, Here's Where It Gets Interesting. She holds the Instagram account Sharon Says So and is the founder of The Preamble Newsletter. Here's Sharon to share five of her big ideas.
Hi, this is Sharon McMahon, author of The Small and the Mighty, 12 Unsung Americans Who Changed the Course of History. Maybe you know me as America's government teacher, or you listen to my podcast, Here's Where It Gets Interesting, or you read my newsletter, The Preamble. Regardless, I'm glad you're here. I wanted to share some of the key insights from The Small and the Mighty. Insight number one, hope is not a feeling. It's a choice. In The Small and the Mighty, I talk about one of my own personal heroes. Her name is Septima Clark, and she was born in 1898 and had a life that probably most of us would not want to trade places with. When I say the list of things that happened to this woman is extensive, I mean it. More than once, she almost died in like a plane crash or a car accident. People tried to firebomb her house. She was falsely arrested. She lost her job. Or I should say, she was fired from her job. She discovered that her husband had a secret second family. At one point in her life, she becomes so despondent that she is nearly suicidal and is saved from harming herself at the last moment. When she grows up to become a teacher, she gets a job in South Carolina at a school called Promise Land School. And the school was no promised land. It didn't even have glass in the windows. And so in order to keep the bugs out, you would have to close the shutters and the children would have to have school in the dark. Septima Clark did not look around and think to herself, wow, I am really going to change the course of history here. In fact, quite the opposite. She probably felt like the problems of the world are too overwhelming. There are far too many issues for me to address. What can I do? It's essentially hopeless. And yet, rather than waiting to feel feelings of hopefulness, she just decided to make a choice. And that choice ended up changing the course of history. What she goes on to do is truly, truly remarkable. And suffice it to say that the United States would have no civil rights movement as we know it without the efforts of women like Septima Clark. Insight number two. Most of the important changes that have happened in the world occurred because ordinary people did the next needed thing. In fact, most of the civil rights movement was people putting one foot in front of the other. Hey, I have an idea. Yeah, let's give that a try. Oh, this is going well. Okay, well, what if we keep going for another week? What if you do that and I try this? The same thing is true of women's suffrage. Women worked for more than 80 years to gain the right to vote. And this idea that there is somebody out there who has typed up the plan, steps 1 through 12, and we all need to just get on board with the plan and implement the plan, and once we've all done that, then everything will have been changed for the better. That is just not reality, and that is also not supported by any historical precedent. People just kept looking at the situation in front of them and doing the next needed thing. And for some of us, the next needed thing is a really big deal. Some of us have millions of people in our audiences, or we have many millions of dollars, or we have the ability to create huge lasting impact. Some of us are literally nursing a baby while a two-year-old is running around the house as you're listening to this. And you might be thinking, I don't know what the next needed thing is. I'm just trying to make it through the day. But what I'm telling you is that the next needed thing is something different for each one of us. And that is the way it is meant to be. And what you can do today is not always indicative of what you'll be able to do in 5 years or 10 years. History shows us that when people do the next needed thing, where they are with the resources available to them, incredible things can happen. Insight number 3. True leadership is about who you lift up, not who you tear down. Many of the people who make headlines are famous for getting in some sick burns. They're excellent at making fun of their political opponents in a way that makes other people be like, oh, such a good one. And I know you know what I'm talking about. We have all been prone to watching those takedown clips and perhaps feeling secretly gleeful when somebody we dislike gets taken down a couple of notches. It's human nature. But ultimately, the people upon whom history smiles kindly, they are the people who spent their life building other people up, asking, how can I be of service? How can I help? Instead of orienting themselves towards self-aggrandizement, instead of orienting themselves towards making sure that other people are taken down a peg or two. And I like to think about somebody else who I profile in the book. His name is Julius Rosenwald, who came by an incredible fortune, by what he calls luck and proximity. He was born the very middle-class son of an immigrant family who arrived to the United States with absolutely nothing. They were peddlers. No way of knowing what their son would someday become, even though they actually lived down the street from the Lincoln family in Illinois. They had no way of knowing who Abraham Lincoln would become either. So when Julius Rosenwald becomes rich beyond his wildest imagination, and he is able to buy everything he's essentially ever wanted and set up his children and his wife with all the fancy clothes and the vacations and the beautiful home, he turns 50 and he looks around and he's like, what should I do with all of this money? Maybe I should do something cool with it. And what he ends up doing with his money, he gives most of it away in a really, really interesting fashion. What he ends up doing with his money continues to impact the United States today. Now, he did not put it on the side of a museum. He did not buy himself a fleet of rail cars. He did not build monuments to himself, but instead he built a legacy that I think when you read this book, you will agree is truly, truly remarkable. In fact, most of the people who were prominent in the civil rights movement were impacted by what he chooses to do with this fortune that he came into by virtue of luck and proximity. Insight number 4. The United States Constitution actually contains a mission statement, and we should be using this mission statement as our North Star. In the book, I tell the story of a man named Gouverneur Morris, who was one of America's founding fathers. And man, this guy has a backstory. I could not even fit it all into the book. His backstory is so juicy. Just for one quick example, he ends up marrying his housekeeper sort of later in life. And his housekeeper was actually a relative of Thomas Jefferson. His housekeeper came to him because she had been disgraced, essentially. She had allegedly had a baby with her sister's husband, and she and her sister's husband conspired, allegedly, to get rid of this newborn baby. So she has to flee her family home. All of this did not make it into the book. We did not have space for it. But Gouverneur Morris has an incredible backstory. He was also a fantastic writer. James Madison, who is considered the father of the United States Constitution, says nobody could have done a better job than Gouverneur Morris. He is the man who penned the words, "We the people." And he wrote the preamble to the Constitution. And there are 4 principles in the preamble to the Constitution that if you summarize them in modern language, they say that the United States is at her best when she is just, peaceful, good, and free. And time again, the best Americans have done their part to uphold these 4 principles: just, peaceful, good, and free. And today we can ask ourselves, when we are making public policies, when we are electing leaders, to what extent does this leader uphold America's mission statement? Insight number 5. In order to make progress, we have to be honest about where we've come from. I know there is a tendency to go through history and pick out all the good stories, because believe me, I have done it. Many of them are in this book. We love reading stories about people who did something truly incredible, and I think they're worth reading. It is worth surrounding ourselves with a community of ancestors who did incredible things and that provide inspiration from which we can live our own lives. I think that's a very valuable exercise. But in addition to examining what people from history have gotten right, we also have to examine what people from history have gotten wrong. And so often in today's political climate, we have a tendency to shy away from examining what people from the past have gotten wrong. They're labeled divisive concepts, or they're given some other name that makes them sound big and scary, and like we can't possibly handle discussing the real, beautiful, honest truth of history. And we do ourselves a disservice when we orient ourselves towards this posture, because in order to build true patriotism, we cannot do that on a lie. Right? And there's a difference between patriotism and nationalism. One is positive and one is negative. We can't build pride on a lie. And we certainly cannot make progress from a place of dishonesty. So if we want real progress, real, meaningful, lasting, important change, that can only come when we examine the truth of history. And it is real and raw, and it's beautiful. When you read The Small and the Mighty, or you listen to the last few minutes of the audiobook, I hope it will end and you'll tuck this into your pocket. There will come a moment in your life where you will be asked to choose. Will I retreat or will I move forward with courage? And you will realize, just like the people in this book, that every experience, every setback, every heartbreak, every triumph, every joy, it will all be used. The character that you've been cultivating will be called upon. And when that moment comes, for some of you, that moment is right now. Whenever it is, I hope you'll rise to it. I'm Sharon McMahon. Thanks for listening, and thanks for reading The Small and the Mighty.
Thank you, Sharon. That was 5 big ideas from The Small and the Mighty, 12 unsung Americans who changed the course of history from the founding to the civil rights movement, by Sharon McMahon. I'm Michael Kovnat. Have a great day.